The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 18, verse 5 through 8. It is page 219 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your hats. I am innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. Amen. Jacob, who had 12 sons with 4 wives and concubines, especially loved the 11th son, Joseph, among his sons. Jacob specially treated Jacob in every way. The other 11 brothers of Joseph would definitely not just watch because they were jealous of Joseph for their father's favoritism toward Joseph. While in the field, the brothers-in-law sold Joseph for 20 shekels of silver as a slave in Egypt. And they had animal's blood on his clothes to bring it to their father, as if Joseph was torn and dead by a wild animal. Jacob saw it was his beloved son Joseph's clothes, and the clothes told him he was killed by a wild animal. He bitterly cried for his favorite son's tragic death and thought he would die after Joseph. However, after being sold to Egypt as a slave, Joseph became the governor of the land in Egypt with God's providence. And 20 years since he was separated from his father, Joseph invited his father Jacob and his family, including brothers, to Egypt and sent his card to his father. The card was special. It was for the governor of the land of the great Egypt. At first, Jacob did not believe Joseph became the governor of the land, thinking he was dead. It was practically impossible and nonsense. Seeing the card, however, Jacob couldn't resist to believe. The verse 27 of Genesis chapter 45 says that the spirit of Jacob revived. The spirit also means soul, ruach in Hebrew. So the verse also means that the soul of Jacob revived. Then it means that the soul of Jacob was dead before. At the time, Jacob was 130 years old. Considering Jacob was dead at the age of 147, that was 17 years before he died. At the time, Jacob was barely alive, and his soul was nothing more than a corpse. However, when seeing the card sent by Joseph, whom he thought dead, the soul of Jacob became restored. Was the soul of Jacob revived only because the card Joseph sent was splendid governor's card? And he thought he would live in luxury thanks to the governor's son? That is not possible. How many families are there who obtained unexpected fortune and the spirit of whole family revived, but became hate one another because of that fortune? How many families are there whose spirit were revived due to someone's success, and the success ended up ruining the family? If the spirit of dead Jacob was revived for that reason, his spirit would have been dead again soon. Jacob, who became the governor of the land of the great Egypt, could have decided to ruin his family. If Joseph, the governor of Egypt, tried to have his revenge on his brothers who sold him to Egypt, ignoring his cry when they came to Egypt for food, and sent an army to the house of his father to relentlessly attack the brothers, what would happen then? Even after he sent his card to his father Jacob, after having revenge, would the soul of Jacob still have been revived? On the contrary, after losing 10 sons due to one, Joseph, the soul of Jacob would have been dead forever. In that case, even if the card sent by Joseph was a splendid card of Egyptian governor, it would have been no more than a bloody card of death which claimed lives of 10 sons. Instead of joy that Joseph, the son who was thought to be dead, was alive and had success, the sorrow that the 10 sons were killed because of one successful son all at once would be bigger. However, Joseph did not have revenge on his brothers who showed up before him for food in a time of famine. Rather, he said to his brothers who were in fear of death, recognizing Joseph now is the ruler of the great Egypt. In the Genesis chapter 55:7-8, "But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt." Joseph accepted the fact that his brothers sold him to Egypt as a slave, as the providence of God to save his family from forthcoming famine. And Joseph did not have his revenge on them. Instead, he invited his brothers and their families to Egypt because he wanted to completely protect them from the great famine. It seems impossible in reality, but possible for Joseph, because although his body was sold by his brothers to become a slave and be put in jail in Egypt, in God's grace, his soul was restored. If his soul failed to be revived, Joseph, who was rich and has lived with his father's special care, would have not accepted being a slave and being in jail for 30 years in a strange land, not being able to refuse the temptation of the mistress, and have relentless revenge on his brothers after being the governor. However, Joseph was able to meet God, who was with him, only after being sold by his brothers as a slave and separated from his family. And he realized that it was God's providence for him to be sold as a slave and to stand still, meaning his soul was restored. By Joseph, whose soul was revived, Egypt and adjacent lands hit by the great famine were restored. Because of Joseph, whose soul was revived, the soul of the mean brothers, selling their brother for 20 shekels of silver, and their children were all revived. Thanks to Joseph, whose spirit was restored, the soul of his father, who saw the cart of Joseph, was also restored. The cart sent by Joseph was a cart of life, reviving all family's soul. This is why the soul of Jacob never died again. His soul was restored eternally to the degree that he became our ancestor of faith. The first book of Bible makes us realize through such life of Joseph that a soul of one person can lead to such a great consequence when it is revived. Faith starts where the soul is revived in God Jesus Christ. However, it shouldn't stop after being revived once. Restored soul in Jesus Christ should be newly and strongly revived in Jesus Christ every day. In today's scripture, verse 5, when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching when Silas and Timothy, being sent for Christians of Macedonia, came down to Corinth to join Paul. That Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching does not mean that he has not devoted himself to preaching as mentioned last time. Rather, it means that Paul was able to devote himself more to preaching with having bigger power by meeting Silas and Timothy. And Paul thus testified that only Jesus is the Christ. That only Jesus is the Christ means that only Jesus is the Savior who eternally revives people's soul. When looking back at Paul's status at the time, we can understand the message of today's scripture more in detail. Paul was in his second mission trip. Since the first mission trip, wherever he goes, there were always one or two fellow workers with him, but not in Corinth. After sending Silas and Timothy to Macedonia in Athens, Paul went to Corinth all by himself. This was the first time for Paul to went to his destination alone. With two ports in east and west, Corinth was the busiest commercial city and the city of heroism. As I told you for Acts 18, 1 through 4, people in Corinth at the time were so drenched in sexuality that in Greek culture area, to act like the people of Corinth was used to mean lewd, and to be Corinthian to mean sexually promiscuous. People of Corinth meant a pimp or pounds, and Corinthian girl was used to mean a prostitute. Since his mission trip started, it was not spiritually easy for Paul to visit Corinth, the big city of corruption, alone. However, as we already know, God reserved Aquila and his wife there for Paul. Paul, who had a skill to make tents, met the tent maker Aquila and his wife and helped them during weekdays to stay at their house, thereby being able to preach to the Jews and Greek people in Jewish synagogue. But per the verse 6 of today's scripture, when Paul devoted more to preaching after Silas and Timothy joined, Jewish people in Corinth went against Paul. The Greek word blasphemo, translated as oppose, does not just mean criticize, defame, and curse, but includes meanings of resistance or antagonism. This leads us into thinking that the Jews were hostile to Paul when he preached at the synagogue, even before he was joined by Silas and Timothy. receiving the gospel from Paul, Aquila and his wife were no more than new Christians. Until then, Aquila and his wife were merely good fellow workers for Paul, but not mature spiritual fellow workers. Under such circumstance, Paul preached in synagogue, where the hostile Jews were in such a corrupted city of Corinth. That must have been a difficult thing in spiritual terms. But right at the time, his beloved fellow workers, Silas and Timothy, came to Corinth to join Paul. And Paul got stronger and devoted himself more to preaching. Silas and Timothy were the disciples of the Lord, whose soul were revived in Christ eternally. With restored soul, they met Paul and revived the spirit of Paul, which must have been lonely in Corinth, as newer and stronger. This is why today's scripture, verse 5, is stressing that Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Paul, who came to have newer and stronger soul through meeting with Silas and Timothy, wanted to make clear that he testified the gospel boldly to the hostile Jews. Paul stayed in Corinth for 1.5 years. For such a long time, Paul, with revived and stronger spirit, testified that only Jesus, who shed blood on the cross, is the Christ who revives man forever. As a result, in the city of corruption, numerous people's souls were restored by Paul. Therefore, a soul revived in Trinity God leads to a great consequence. And the scripture teaches us that we should be restored more newly and strongly every day. Since April 29, when I was diagnosed to have prostate cancer, I've never been swayed by the cancer. Rather, there have been the Word of God that stayed with me. That was Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Although I have cancer, whenever I mediate this world, I felt my soul is being revived more strongly in Jesus Christ. Therefore, the essence of my prayer on cancer was simple. I prayed to God to help me not be foolish, making my health as an idol, and pursue only God in Jesus Christ. Think about it. I'm 65 in current age. Can I get back to the times when I was in the 20s? Even though I am healthy, I could live very long, but how long? I could make cancer-free and healthy body as an idol, but is it not true that the body would become a small amount of dirt in the end? However, as long as I long for God in Jesus Christ as the purpose of my life, God will revive me forever, even after I die soon. For this reason, I was put under general anesthesia, repeating Psalm 23 in the operating room. I sang Psalm 23 at nights when I can't sleep in extreme pain after surgery. Thanks to that, my soul always was happy for the life that is revived despite the hardest pain in the body. Am I the only one having this experience and compassion? How many people have had or now have the joy of life that is revived through the Psalm 23? As is known very well, Psalm 23 is poems of David. He also was a man like us. And then how could these poems revive countless souls in trouble, transcending time and space? Through the Psalm 23:3, David confessed that he restores my soul, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The soul of David was restored in God. As his soul were revived, he did not fear, even in the valley of the shadow of death, trusting God. And by David, whose soul was restored, Israel was restored from King Saul's greed and hubris. And many bore fruits of life where he stayed. This isn't all. David wrote 72 poems, And the 72 poems written by David with revived soul became some of the Bible. The Word of God. Out of 150 chapters, almost half are David's. That is indeed a miraculous work of life. His poems transcended time and space to restore troubled souls and gave the joy of life to those in the valley of the shadow of death. And the flow of life extended to the Korean Peninsula 3,000 years later today. And I also have that joy of life where my soul is being restored every day through his poem after having cancer. Through the restored soul of one person, Joseph, those mean brothers who sold him for 20 shekels of silver, Jacob, his father, whose soul was dying for losing beloved son, and all families were restored in the great famine. Paul was a great apostle, but his soul was alone and in pain in early days in the corrupt city of Corinth. However, by meeting Silas and Timothy again, Paul's soul became revived, new and stronger, and he made more effort to testify that only Jesus is the Savior who restores human souls eternally. And countless spirits were revived in corrupt city of Corinth by that Paul. Not only Israel was revived through just one person, David, whose soul was restored, but his poems were still resuscitating countless souls of people transcending time and space. As such, having soul restored in God is a tremendous event impacting a society and an era. Only Jesus Christ is the Savior who revives our soul eternally. Only in Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, we can come forward to God, the source of life. But do you know? That we were called by the Lord as Christians means that our souls have already been revived with the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, what we should do now is to be restored every day, new and stronger, and live as Christians with soul revived eternally. We meditate the word, pray, and praise because we want to live as Christians whose souls were restored. And then we will become Joseph, reviving his families and the times. Silas and Timothy, reviving the souls of those with deeper spirituality than themselves, stronger. Paul, testifying through his life that only Jesus is the Christ who revives man eternally. And David, restoring souls of countless people in predicament transcending time and space. Although we are nothing, the Lord is Christ, who resurrected from death eternally and restored us. Let us pray. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, make the confession of David be ours. May this confession of David be our prayers. May this confession of David be our praise. Help our souls be revived and become new and stronger every day in Jesus Christ, so that through us testifying that only Jesus is the Christ, who restores man forever, our families, churches in this world, and the times are revived. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.